Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of The Blind Entrepreneur. Today, I have with me Tyson Hartnett. He's currently in New York, 29, and the author of the book, Hoop Dreams Fulfilled. He's also the founder of Athlete Minded, which is a podcast that focuses on mental development to help athletes with their minds and careers. Tyson, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John. Very, very happy to be here.
Cool. So the first question, always the easiest. Tell us about yourself. Who are you and what is your story?
So overall, let's see. A few years ago, I graduated college. Played basketball my entire life. Played in high school, played in college. And then I actually had the chance to play professionally overseas for two seasons in Europe and in South America. And through that, it wasn't straightforward. And that's what I realized once I came back to America from playing overseas, is that I've been through a lot in terms of politics and recruiting and coaches and teammates and wondering what I was going to do and even quitting basketball for a while. So it was this whole world of like, wow, I know so much about like athletics and my career and sports. So once I came back and realized that I wasn't going to be playing professionally forever, I kind of started putting things into play to help this next generation of athletes. So first for me, it was a basketball training type website. And that was cool for a little bit, but then I transitioned it into a book. I wrote a book about my life playing sports and got real detailed about it. And most recently, I've been putting together a mental development program for athletes because I learned that athletes, they don't have the resources that they need typically, especially if athletes are playing sports seriously. Because if you search for any type of athletic information online, a lot of it is going to be dedicated to middle schoolers or high schoolers or being positive or letting your kids play sports or something like that. But there's not really that much information for the serious athlete who is number one priority is to get a college scholarship, or once they're in college, how to play professionally somewhere, or a high level D1 athlete who all they do is play their sport because they're on scholarship. So all this subtle weird information, like the identity of being an athlete, what you do after your sport is over, how you transition, and people think, oh, that's easy. Once your career's over, you just transition and you get a job. But it's like, no, that's absolutely not what happens, because you've been playing this sport your entire life and you don't have any job history. You haven't gotten internships your entire life. You haven't focused on business. You haven't focused on whatever it is because you've been playing the sport. So what do you do next? So that's kind of where I want to come in and help athletes out with it. And recently I realized that there is a huge market for it. And maybe it won't help everybody, but maybe I'll help a few people. And that's, you know, that's all we can really do with this stuff. So,
I mean, you see that in the NBA as well with people who are, you know, retiring or have an injury and they have all this money. They don't know what to do with it. There are a lot of people who just spend it all on stupid things. So, you know, and not being able to adapt to the, you know, real life per se. So it's really cool that you're doing that too. You know, the step below.
I mean, because people hear about Lamar Odom. Everybody's heard about Lamar Odom and going on drugs and being in the hospital and all that stuff. But there's so many people that happens for who aren't his level, mm-hmm. who haven't been on NBA championship teams or aren't in the NBA. And it's unbelievable, actually, how many it happens. But you don't hear about it, and we don't hear about it. Nobody hears about it. And a lot of times they don't tell anybody about it either because it's embarrassing. So I want to help those people who don't want to, you know, spend hundreds of dollars a week on therapists or everything, you know, but being able to get that information and develop themselves easily and realize that, you know, other people have dealt with this stuff.
So you briefly mentioned about, you know, why, what is your why exactly, but tell me about, like, where your passion started from. At what age or at what time were you like, you know what, basketball is it for me?
Yeah, so I actually mentioned it in the book, but I was in like 7th or 8th grade about, and I was playing a few different sports. I was playing baseball. I was playing soccer. I was a pretty good pitcher. But I realized, hey, you know, if I wanted to do something seriously, I would have to choose one. And I thought about it for a long while, but I just felt pulled to play basketball. I felt that was kind of like what I was supposed to focus on. So, yeah, I started focusing on it around 7th, 8th grade, and I started just putting in the work, because I wasn't that good at the time. People like LeBron, they're just natural athletes and they become NBA players, but I started putting in a lot of work starting in 8th grade, and that's when I slowly started to get better, And eventually, you know, we changed schools so I could go to a better school, and Shawnee High School in Medford, New Jersey, right outside of Philly. And yeah, that was like a powerhouse school. And going in there freshman year, I never thought I was actually going to play. I mean, I hoped I was going to play, but the team was so good. They played some of the best teams. And yeah, but by senior year, I put in so much work that I was leading scorer on the team. I got a Division I scholarship. And yeah, I realized that I did have a future in this if I just kept working my butt off at it.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, I guess, the early on of your entrepreneurship career, maybe even the book. What were some of the struggles that you had in the very beginning?
Yeah, so struggles for the book was just being terrified about writing it. Like, I'm not going to lie, it was terrifying, because what I talked about wasn't what a lot of other people talk about. Like, it wasn't a tips to success book. It wasn't looking at it from a perspective of a personal trainer saying, you do this, you do this, you do this, you're going to be successful. I could have made it that way, and I was thinking about making it that way, kind of, but once I actually started to sit my butt down and write, it flowed. You know, honestly, I want to say this to make it seem easy, but I basically wrote the book in a week. I mean, obviously, I had to go over I'd edit it multiple times, and that took a few months. Mm-hmm. But the physical aspect of me writing it, the first draft, is that once I started to write it, it just flowed, man. Like, yeah. it flowed. And I wrote last year over Christmas break for about 5 to 6 hours a day. You know, we would celebrate, I'd have fun with family, but then I would go into the room, just write for 5-6 hours a day. And it was cathartic, man. It was so cathartic. But afterwards, I was like, whoa, what is this? And then once I read my first version, I was like, it was raw. Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, I wish I could have published the first version, because it was so raw. But I couldn't do that. So I did a second edit and then a third edit. And then I had a National Geographic edit writer, he helped edit like the fourth draft and the fifth draft. So that took a lot of time. But the hard part was just writing it and being scared to write it, because it was my story. It was the horrible stuff that I had never told anybody, and I never wanted to tell anybody, like about depression, about, you know, the fear and the anger and all the stuff that in the world today, everybody's trying to look good. So you don't want to tell anybody about, but I'm just like, you know what? Screw it. Like, just do it. And I did it, and I put it out there. And, you know, I was scared about what people would think and say and if people would treat me differently. But once I published it, I realized things didn't change that much. People liked it, and people respected me for doing it. So
tell me a little bit about one of your biggest failure thus far, and, you know, how did you overcome it, and what did you learn from it? I'm sure it's hinted in the book.
Yeah. So my biggest failure, I would say, wasn't really in the entrepreneurial journey. Mm-hmm. It was more like earlier in my career, and when I was playing basketball. Like, I played for my first 2 years at Maine University, and that was Division I. But the coach told me after my second year that I wasn't going to play there anymore, because whatever, you know, it was politics. I profile it in the book. But that was kind of my biggest failure, because everything up in my life to that point was about playing Division I basketball and then playing professionally overseas. And he kind of said, look, that's not a possibility. So I was, you know, it was horrible. You know, I was like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what school I wanted to go to, if I wanted to play basketball anymore. So that was a major failure because I never thought about my life outside of the sport, outside of playing basketball. So that was the tough thing for me. And that's why I want to help athletes out with this stuff now, with these entrepreneurial things I'm doing, to help them realize that they're not only an athlete, they're not one-dimensional. And yeah, to kind of take care of themselves, because a lot of times their coaches won't and other people won't. So they kind of have to be proactive about it themselves.
So tell me, I don't know how you want to answer this question, but what are some habits that have helped you become more efficient throughout your day? And you can either go, you know, the route of what has made you efficient or what you tell, you know, potential clients or people that are trying to inquire about your work.
Yeah. So this actually like changed my life, because a few years ago, once I started my entrepreneurial journey, as you've probably done, I started reading so much and listening to podcasts and just learning about psychology, human motivation, human development, why we do what we do, just literally reading. I tried to read at least one book a week for a while, and it was about human motivation. It was about psychology. It was about flow. It was about the growth mindset. It was about all this stuff that it's like golden, you know, it's golden stuff to be successful or develop your life or just improve yourself. And after doing a lot of these exercises and things for a long time, one of the things that was huge for me in the beginning, which really woke me up and was like a big slap in my face, was Brendon Burchard. He's like a major motivational speaker and author now, and he had this book called The Charge, and it was just one of the many books I was reading at the time. But in it, there's exercises, and one of the exercises was rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 in 7 different areas. And these 7 areas are emotional side, mental health, physical health, relationships, wealth, spiritual, and self-growth. And basically, you had to analyze yourself, do a 360-degree view on yourself. And at the time, I was like, I did it. And I was like, wow. I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, I was like, yeah. You know, I didn't have much money. Like, my relationships were awful. I was getting mad all the time. I was, you know, I didn't really know much about much. I didn't have any plan for my future. I wasn't really improving myself. And it was just awful. So that's, I think, the first thing that we can do is just take an inventory of ourselves. Because if we don't know where we are now, we don't know where we're going to be. So that's the number one thing. Just analyze yourself and be completely honest, because nobody's judging you. Nobody's looking at you in a different way. But if you're completely honest with yourself, that's when change starts to occur. So I analyzed myself and I was like, wow. So started focusing in different areas. So one of the things was emotional. So I looked at my anger and why I was getting so angry and what was wrong with it. So just slowly started to put things into play with that. But that was back then. But now one of the biggest things that's really improving my life each and every week is just setting, like doing weekly goal setting planners. So on Saturday or Sunday or Monday, do a recap of that week. Like, what went wrong? What went well? What are you proud of yourself for? What did you learn? And once you figure all that out from last week, look forward to the week ahead. Like, what do I want to accomplish? What's a major thing I need to accomplish? What am I excited for? How am I going to be better this week than I was last week? And it doesn't have to be comprehensive. It just has to be getting you thinking about how you're going to improve yourself, who you're going to reach out to, how you're going to establish relationships with different people that you've never reached out to or talked to, and just expanding yourself. And I think that's one of the most important things we can do, because daily there's a lot of, you know, subtle little things we can do, but sometimes things get caught up in our lives. But I think if we look at it from a weekly perspective, like really taking control of the week, is maybe Tuesday you'll get more done than Monday, or Wednesday you'll get more done than Thursday. So not getting mad at yourself about not getting everything done on this specific day, but looking at it as a semi-big picture, like this week it's so important. So
what does that tell me a little bit about what that looks like for you, you know, holding yourself accountable. You said that you write things down, or you, do you use a specific app? Do you actually write it down on a piece of paper? Like, what does that process look like for you, and how can other people, you know, take your process and work with it within themselves?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much technology these days with apps and Evernotes and all this stuff. I'm not knocking any of that stuff. That's great. But I mean, for me, yeah, if there's specific things that I want to do, number one, I'm going to write it down because that's just easier for me. And I just leave it on the desk or in my room or wherever. So I just, it's there, you know, it's there until I've done it. And no, nothing can, you know, take it away. It's going to be there until I do it. But honestly, why I wrote the book is because the thing in my mind, it kept coming back. Like this idea or this vision in my mind, it kept coming back to me. I was working at a tech company in sales when I started thinking about the ideas for the book. And each and every day I would walk into work, I would be thinking, you know what? I want to write a book. Sometimes it would go away. Sometimes it would come back stronger. But I was like, you know what? I want to write a book. And then I'm like, all right, I started planning out, when am I going to write this book? And that was over break, because that's when we had days off. And then I was thinking about, all right, what is the name of this book going to be? And it wasn't like I went to a piece of paper and wrote down 1,000 different names of a book. I didn't do anything. It literally just came to me. I was just walking to work one day, and I'm like, you know what? Oh, crap, Hoop Dreams Fulfilled. Yeah, like that'd be a badass name, you know? So I started thinking about it more and more. And eventually, I think one of the biggest things that we can do is that we're trying to force things too much. We're trying to do what we think other people think we should do. Mm. And we, you know, we try to force what we think we should be doing because other people are doing it, or we think we should be doing this. But the reality about entrepreneurship, and I think life, is just being patient and letting it come to you sometimes, like letting the ideas come to you, or letting the, you know, letting the things you want to do, let it happen slowly. And obviously putting the things into play, taking little baby steps, but not forcing it. Because I think if you force it too much, it won't be genuine, you know, it won't be real. It'll be just because you thought you had to do it, because you saw Tim Ferriss do it. So it's like, oh, well, he did it, so I got to do it now. Not realizing that there's thousands of other people that watched Tim Ferriss and are now doing that exact same thing. So trusting in yourself, the things that you want to do, or the visions that you have, because not everybody is getting those visions or thinking those things. And that's how we separate ourselves, and that's how we do genuine cool things like what you're doing.
Thanks. That means a lot. I mean, believe it or not, that's exactly why this podcast, videocast, it was created, is because a lot of young entrepreneurs had this mindset of, like, you know, they see Mark Zuckerberg's, Tim Ferriss, the Gary Vaynerchuk's, and, you know, they believe that they're some kind of, like, overnight success. And, you know, they see the evaluations of Uber being, you know, $70 billion or whatever it may be, which is insane. And then they're like, oh, man, you know, all I need is a really good idea. But they don't understand the struggle and the hardship and the amount of time that it takes, the patience that it may, you know, could take. They may want success tomorrow, but it could take, you know, 10, 15, 20 years in order to achieve it. So my question is, you know, with that all said and done, what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a millennial entrepreneur, or an entrepreneur in general who wants to become one and just hasn't done it yet?
Yeah, I could give about 50 pieces of advice, but let's see. One would be, don't look at competition too much, because I know there's always going to be competition. There's going to be people doing things better than you. It's going to be easy to get jealous, and maybe you'll be doing better than them at some point. And don't look at competition as a bad thing in life. You know, like, don't think of yourself as bad because your buddy is making $1 million a year and you're only making $30,000 a year or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just like, the thing for me is that, like, trust that you're on your own path, you know, like, trust that what you're doing is good. And if I guess this is number two, but if you're doing what everybody else is doing, you're going to see what everybody else sees and you're going to get what everybody else gets. So if everybody's doing the same thing, like maybe do something a little different. For example, I worked at a car dealership before and it was like a weird place, and cars would come in and we would have to go out to them and shake their hand, and people would all stand in the same spot. For some reason, they thought standing in the same spot as everybody else, they're going to have a better chance of getting that client. So if everybody's standing in the same spot, how about go to a different spot? You know, go to the back of the store, go to the opposite side of the dealership or something where you can, you know, do something a little different. And that's kind of focusing on, like, maybe it's a topic that's different you want to talk about, or a different type of book you want to write, or just something like that, just something a little different than the mainstream of what everybody else is doing. I think that's kind of what you just mentioned, in terms of you see something and, you know, you follow the Zuckerbergs and the Ubers and be like, oh, I want to create a taxi hailing app. It's like, don't you think that that place is already saturated? And I think that's where rookie entrepreneurs do, because I did it in the very beginning. I thought, hey, I'm going to create a basketball training website and people are going to buy it from all over the world. And it did happen for a little bit, but I realized that every single person who has played basketball was basically doing it at this point, like YouTube, Instagram, you know, there's everything. So like, it's not a bad place to start, but realize that you can maybe transition it into something that only you know, or only you have the skills or the expertise to do. So I guess that's number two. And I guess number three, have a good team around you. Don't get too like worked up over not being successful. Like, have good people around you to push you, but also be like, hey, it's okay that you're not a millionaire right now, because as an entrepreneur, money is basically the focus. That's the whole point. You want to make money so you can do it for the rest of your life, and you don't want to have to get a 9-to-5 job. And money is the main portion of that. And there's a lot of things I see these days where entrepreneurs, they're like, oh, like, oh my God, if you watch Instagram, like, you'll want to freaking shoot yourself, because you see these little clips like, oh, I make this much money and I have this car. And you're just like, wow, I don't have this. I don't have this car. You know, I'm not this successful. So, like, just, you know, trust your own journey, you know, and just do what you know you should be doing. And obviously, you got to make money with it, et cetera. But a lot of it is the path. And embrace the journey. Embrace these Skype calls that maybe millions of people aren't going to see. You know, it's like, just be happy with what you're doing while you're doing it and be satisfied with it. So, because it's not all numbers. A lot of times, it's, as long as you're okay with the podcast and the video calls and the outreach and all that stuff, that's really what it comes down to, is about enjoying what you're doing while you're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that those are very wise words. Two more questions. Quickly, how did you write the book? Did you do it through a Word document, or was it special software? Or
no, I mean, there is software out there for, I forget what the name of it is.
Did you use it though?
No, I just
used it.
Old school Word doc, baby.
Nice, very cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I like to be, I mean, I had it all in my mind, and maybe if you're going to do like research document type books where you got to have notes and like all this type stuff, maybe some software will be good. But yeah, I mean, for what I was writing, I had it all in my mind. So
cool.
Yeah, I just put it in a doc and separated it by different chapters and different areas. I mean, honestly, it's funny you say that too, because before I wrote the book, I was sitting at a diner and I was like, okay, I was mapping out the book on a piece of paper. I'm like, okay, high school, it's going to be 10 pages, and college, it's going to be 15 pages, and then overseas, it's going to be 20 pages. And then I'm like, okay, boom, we'll have a 200-page book. But at the end of the day, that didn't matter at all, because what I wanted to write was more important than the structure or you know, how many pages a certain thing was.
So I have one more question for you.
Yeah.
It's my personal favorite. Imagine you just had the worst day of your life and you're down in the dumps. You know, maybe you didn't make the basketball team that you wanted to make, or maybe you didn't land the deal that you wanted to land, and you're down in the dumps and you're a little upset. What is the one food that will not only make your day better, but put you in higher spirits?
Actually shocked that you said food, because I thought you were going to say, like, what do you do, and what is the action you take? And I was about to say, get a good meal.
Nice.
Get food, because it's underrated. It's so underrated. Being, you know, just getting some food, because I read something before where somebody said, like, if you're depressed, what do you do? And they said the first thing, just eat, you know, get a good meal. I would just, if I had a horrible day, what food would I get? Probably, honestly, Cheez-Its. Nice. I love Cheez-Its. So I would probably get a box of Cheez-Its. I might not eat the full box of Cheez-Its, maybe half of it. But if not, you know, maybe just get some chicken, or I don't know. Honestly, I'd probably just go to the bodega down the street, get a little sandwich, you know, talk to the guys and realize that whatever happened, it wasn't that awful, you know, and I could just, you know, hang out with them, laugh with them, and might get some ice cream too. I don't know.
Just get it all in one. Cheez-Its.
Yeah. You know, just stuff in my face, go to sleep, realize tomorrow will be different.
Absolutely. So, Tyson, if you don't mind just telling everybody how people can follow you, how people can contact you, and et cetera.
Yeah, so two websites I have now. One is for the book, if you want to check it out, hoopdreamsfulfilled.com, where you can get the audio version of my book that I actually wrote and narrated, or the physical version or the Kindle version. Kindle version, I think, is 99 cents now. Or we can do the athleteminded.com. So it's athleteminded.com. And that's where we got a full mental development program for athletes. We got a whole bunch of videos up there. Have some with PhDs in psychology. Got the blog set up. Yeah, a whole bunch of details to help athletes out, or people who know athletes, with the whole mental world.
Cool. Tyson, thank you so much for your time, words of wisdom, and continued success.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it, man.
See you, man.
Bye.